afternoon. Now we're getting started here, but glad you could join me. This has been a, I guess since last Tuesday, we've had a bit of a tough week. I think Friday was, the payroll employment number was very important, and really I think sort of sets the stage for the next couple of weeks in terms of what we expect to see out of the Fed. You know, we've sort of been here on the thorny end of the stick for a while, and I've mentioned that I thought the Fed funds should be lower. I thought the Fed should be lowering rates, and you know, I looked right for a while last year, and I looked very wrong this year about that. But I think that scenario is coming about, and it's you know, whether they do it now or later, it's certainly going to take place, I believe. And I believe that what is going on in the mortgage market is reflective of a tenuous economy that will need some help from the Fed. And I do believe that in the larger sense, that will be helpful to what we're doing here. Certainly, it should restore some confidence in the market and begin to maybe provide some support in the credit markets. I can't imagine that that you can tear such a gaping hole in the credit markets, which we've experienced, and not have some repercussions in the overall economy. What's interesting, and in fact, an enigma to me, is to watch how the equity market continues to do reasonably well, where I see continually see more the credit markets tightening again and again. And I think it's somewhat reminiscent of what happened. It's just the opposite of what happened whenever the Fed was raising rates during the last cycle up. It seemed the more the Federal Reserve raised rates, the more money became available. And we've had this liquidity blob, if you will, in the marketplace all the way up until the beginning of this year, even certainly into the end of last year. The Fed raised rates, and every time they raised rates, more money became available. And they would raise rates again in an effort to slow down the economy or to draw some money out of the circulation, if you will, to tighten monetary policy. And the flatter the yield curve became, the more financial institutions became incented to lend money because there was very little net interest margin. On the other hand, now I see people ask me, what do you think the Fed, you know, lowering rates will do? Well, I think it will help with regard to confidence that the Fed is, in fact, watching what's going on and is willing to begin to take some steps to do that. However, I'm seeing from financial institutions, banks, what have you, certainly the broker-dealer community, tighten credit a great deal. So I'm not sure that by lowering interest rates, you're going to encourage those financial institutions, whatever they may be, to lend money, and that's going to be critical with regard to the turn of the credit cycle. And so it may be a fact of, no matter how low, certainly for the first couple of moves, I think lower interest rates don't necessarily immediately turn around what's going on in the credit markets, because now it's a matter of we're not lending the money, period. But there will be certainly some improvement with lower short-term rates. With regard to net asset value, since last week, we've been under some pressure. Again, I think that it has to do a great deal with what we're seeing in the economy with regard to that very low payroll employment number. It just provides evidence that, in fact, what we've already seen has been occurring. There are further pressure points with regard to the structured investment vehicles, the SIVs, that you certainly have heard a lot about. There continues to be, on a regular basis, a fairly large amount of bid lists in for the bid, that is, on the street. In other words, several hundreds of millions of dollars per day coming out of SIVs, and asset-backed commercial paper conduits. An awful lot of that paper has to roll over this month, and in the next, you know, 15 to 45 days, we've got a lot of a short-term paper that has to refinance, and the rates on that are quite high, you know, well into the 6.5% to 7.5% range, indicating that there is such a tremendous aversion to risk. This is on A1, P1 commercial paper and AAA type paper. The very short-term stuff is finding a very hard time getting placed. For instance, T-bills are down at 4%, while Fed funds are at T-bills are at 4%, while Fed funds are at 5.25%. And on the other hand, LIBOR, which is also very reflective of interbank risk, LIBOR interbank loaning rates are the 1 month rate is at 5.81%. So it's 50 basis points higher than Fed funds, which is very unusual, and has and the European Central Bank continues to inject liquidity into that system, and is just for some reason unable to get that rate down. LIBOR will not come down, and that is a credit premium, not a demand premium. It's just a credit premium on LIBOR. So the credit markets really have not improved much. In fact, I think the Treasury's rallied vigorously. Big Treasury rally occurred Friday and subsequently. So we've got from the 2 year to the 30 year rates are down substantially. I mean, we're looking at I think it's very important to look at where you see a 2 year Treasury at 3.88% and Fed funds at 5.25%. That tells you something. That tells you what the market thinks about where short term interest rates are. I think we see a slowing in the economy. And I think that that's going to be, have to find some support from lower Fed funds. Now, with regard to the net asset values and the funds and how they're trading, they continue to be under pressure because it's really related to credit spreads. And I think that, even in spite of, in particular, some of the corporate names have come under more pressure. When we saw the, stocks down 250, on Friday, that really began to spill over to and has affected our corporate holdings, especially in high income, where you've got some below investment grade corporate holdings were affected by that. And and also in the intermediate fund, where we have some longer term, 15 to 30 year financials, such as Barclays Bank, Halifax Bank of Scotland, PNC, J.P. Morgan, et cetera, some what you would normally think of as high quality, A1, A+, AA type names, spreads have widened out dramatically. I know that we had, some of our bonds have widened out from 150 to 180 type spreads on the long end all the way out to as wide as 350, 400 basis points. Which is dramatic in terms of corporate spread widening, but that has just been the attitude of the market. No risk at all for no appetite at all for risk. Now, with regard to some of the questions, and that of course answers some of that, but with regard to questions, there are a number of questions that address what is the overall value of the portfolio in terms of what is the nominal or the discount from par what's owned. Versus, I guess trying to get a feel for what we think the NAV is going, and I very difficult for me to answer there in terms of what's going to happen. But suffice it to say that virtually everything in the portfolio, both intermediate and high income, are all at discounts now. High income fund would be at a much more perhaps discount than intermediate. Nevertheless, I think that even things like Barclays Bank, AA. Single A1, A+, AA bonds are down, probably 12 points or so in the last 3 months with the very difficult credit markets and high-grade corporate bonds. So, what is the nominal pricing? I don't know exactly. I think that probably on a weighted average discount from par, we're probably talking about bonds generally trading in the mid-50s or so, mid-50s to 60s in the high-income fund, just as an estimate only. And for the intermediate fund, probably the estimate would be, another 15 to 20 points higher, but probably still going to be in the mid-70s to mid-80s, just as an estimate. But, virtually everything's at a substantial discount. Lower Fed funds and lower interest rates going forward, there's no question that does help us, and we're looking forward to that. We have, redemptions, additions, redemptions and additions to the funds have been running about equal for the last 2 to 3 weeks. Not a lot, still some redemptions. We are handling those. We have not had to, severe pressure on that. The assets have remained somewhat stable, but they still do have to handle that. And we're trying to keep the portfolios reasonably balanced whenever we do have redemptions or reduce the size of the portfolios. That is, of course, the objective. Now, what we can do practically in the marketplace is not always that, but I think we have been able to do that for the most part to keep some value spread out across all the different asset categories. With regard to the closed-end funds, we have, satisfied the margin requirements there, and those funds seem to have stabilized in terms of where we can operate the margin there. We'd like to go back, begin to put some money back to work in those funds with some stability there. Still do not know on any questions regarding, opening and closing of anything with regard to the funds, the futures of funds there. It is a difficult market with regard to credit, and that is what we've been doing. We've been doing credit from day one here. We've gone through several difficult cycles. The most pronounced cycle that I've been through would have been the 1998 cycle of long-term capital management and the Russian currency issues. But we didn't have as much money, nor were we as far down the credit cycle as we are, or credit curve as we are today with the high income fund. So this is very a very difficult marketplace. It's very difficult because the broker dealer community is also overextended, if you will, from the ABX and credit default swap and warehousing lines for CDOs have put them in a difficult position to accommodate any liquidity in the marketplace. So although I feel like a number of bonds have tremendous value, finding good trading levels for those bonds is very difficult. We had a situation occur just this past week on Friday where we were able to pick up a small piece of a AA bond, a AA2 by Moody's and AA+ by S&P, brand new issue. It was a mortgage-related issue, but it's prime collateral. AA over AA, and the bond traded at 53 cents on the dollar to yield about 14.5%. There are some extreme situations that are out there that I think the bond is worth, that bond may be worth 25 points more. Maybe not, but in this market, it may be difficult to sell it again, too. So I just think it's a period of time where we have to be a little patient with it. I was pleased with the dividend distributions and pleased with the income production of the portfolios. Pleased with that. It'll be a struggle to keep numbers going because bonds are obviously stressed and it's a tough time in the credit markets. But we are continuing to sort of, put money back to work at opportune times and try to make some strategic trades that make sense for us. So thank you for joining me today. I don't have a lot of update for you. I think that there was a very material number on Friday, and I do believe that that does get us started on a Fed rate cut, and that is certainly a move in the right direction. I think we're beginning to see some political maneuvering that will probably provide some mitigation to losses, certainly in the mortgage arena. So I think with regard to the political hot potato that will get passed here, we won't see everything getting fixed, but if we begin to see a little movement in that direction, I think that will have a positive effect for us as well. Thank you for joining me. I will be back next week, next Tuesday, and we'll certainly try to keep in touch. Anything that is material or of use to you, we'll try to have out in a timely manner. Thank you.